Great is a word frequently used by Tony the Tiger and the head football coach of the Rancho Bernardo High School Broncos.
Let's be great.
The words let's and be usually precede his plea to his team to be great. However, he often uses derivatives of this statement during practice.
And it's a got it. It's being great. Next play.
He uses the affirmation for pep talks.
And envision being great Friday night.
And giving his team last-minute instructions prior to kickoff.
One play at a time, how great can we be together? Every snap, right?
Eric Weddle knows a lot about being great. He was an All-American in his final season at the University of Utah, a two-time NFL All-Pro safety, a six-time Pro Bowler, and a Super Bowl champion. Now he's trying to pass on his mindset about greatness to his football players.
Let's be great is a mindset. It's a way of life. It's not letting any obstacle or circumstance affect how you treat others or how you attack the day.
Welcome to BYU Radio's Big Stories, telling the amazing and inspiring tales from the Big 12 and beyond. I'm your host, Cleon Wall. In this episode, we delve into Eric's relentless pursuit of excellence in his sports career and how this journey has shaped him into an even better man.
Let's be great today. It's pretty simple.
Debbie and Steve Weddle could look at their son on the sidelines and call him a miracle, a wonder, even a phenomenon. They wouldn't be referring to Eric's prowess with the pigskin or even his coaching of the high school football team. You see, Eric's birth almost didn't happen.
I think I was 5 months pregnant, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, we got to get to the hospital. Water broke everything. So we get to the hospital, and they were just like, oh, we're so sorry, ma'am. Oh, your baby's heartbeat's so strong, but you're having a miscarriage. And I said, well, then just give me the stuff and let's get it over with, you know, whatever it is they give you to promote the miscarriage. And they said, oh, no, we can't do that. So as soon as the nurses would leave, I'd start marching around the room trying to get this thing going. And finally, one of the nurses came in and said, honey, don't listen to those doctors. They're not always right. She said, I had another patient, same thing happened. Their water sealed up and they went on to carry that baby full term. I didn't move an inch from that minute on, and I was on bed rest for a month. And then they told me, oh, medically you're fine. You can go back to work and jump around with all those kindergartners. It was a miracle. God said, nope, this baby's not going anywhere. He was born 2 or 3 weeks early, but he was perfectly healthy. I mean, but it was just like, wow, God had other plans for him.
Those other plans included playing all kinds of sports.
I played football since I was in first grade, tackle football. Football ended, you go to basketball for 3 months. Basketball ended, you go play baseball. Then summer was off, and then August comes around, and you play football again. I didn't really love baseball, and, you know, it's too much standing around.
He was a busy kid, as you can imagine. So he was always climbing, jumping, hopping, and so...
It was a thing.
We just wanted to keep him busy, and he was a busy guy, too. He was very athletic, so...
And as far as sports, he was good at everything.
I was very driven, and I was very focused from an early age, so... When people said I couldn't do something, then I'd find a way to get it done. And, you know, holding that type of mindset, attitude, has carried me a long way.
While excelling as a three-sport athlete, Weddle crossed paths with Chanel.
I was playing three sports. It was I was doing cross-country, soccer, and track. And a bunch of people had said, like, oh, you should date him. Like, you guys are both athletic, and... So we first started talking, and he was really, like, cocky and full of himself.
She was the epitome of living like the savior, of how she acted, how confident she was, how kind she was, how she serves others.
So we, like, went our separate ways for a little bit, and then the next year, my senior year, we started talking again, and I think he was a little bit more humble. I started to get to know him as a person. I think that's when he first realized, like, oh, there is more to me than sports. And then that's, like, of course, when I fell in love with him.
The sports power couple left their homes in Alta Loma, California to play college athletics in the Beehive State. Eric played safety for the Utah Utes, while Chanel was a forward for the Utah State Aggies soccer squad in Logan.
The minute he went to Utah and she went to Utah State, I said, they're going to get married. And her mom said, oh, no, Debbie, no, no, no. And I said, trust me, they're going to get married.
Chanel and Eric dated off and on during college, but she dismissed the idea of them ever living in wedded bliss. As a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Chanel wanted to marry someone of her faith. However, Eric began learning about the church from his fellow Utah teammates.
Morgan Scally was a huge part of that, and his example on the field and what kind of guy he was. And he wasn't just this football player, and the energy he brought and the spirit he brought was a huge influence on Eric. So then when he's getting these stories at home and he's seeing this example on the field, I think all of that plus like had dated me and knew my standards. So I think at that point he just loved everything the church stood for, and that's when he decided to get baptized.
Eric proposed, Chanel accepted, and the two decided to get married in July of 2005.
He drove all the way home from Utah to tell me they were getting married, and I said, what? You know, when you get married, you're on your own. And he goes, yeah, Mom, we got it all figured out. Between our two scholarships, we're going to be able to make it. And I'm going, you guys are nuts. All right, I guess, you know, what are we going to do? And they sure proved it to everyone that they were gonna make it.
My mom and dad had been there every step of the way. They went to every home game for Utah. So they would drive up Saturday, go to the game, drive back Sunday. I mean, I'm lucky, I'm blessed, I'm humbled beyond belief that both my parents worked together. Amazing parents that taught me life lessons and were there every step of the way.
Eric's next step was a career in the NFL. After a stellar senior season at the University of Utah, where he earned All-American, All-Mountain West, and Defensive Player of the Year honors in 2006.
I never wanted to not take advantage of living my dream. And honestly, it was never really a dream to play in the NFL. I thought that was never a possibility for me growing up. And so then when I was in it, and then honestly, like having a second opportunity of life in a sense, playing in that game, how could I not be smiling?
Weddle was drafted by the San Diego Chargers, not far from his family home.
After a couple years in the league, I was hovering around average. I was a good player, but I just wasn't satisfied with that. I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be great. And the more I focused on how I could be great, it helped me be a better leader and a better teammate and a better husband and a better father. The ups and downs, we're all going to go through adversity. We're all going to have tough times, but you live, you learn, you move forward, you don't look back, and you try to be better and you try to be great. Like, who cares what happened yesterday? Let's be great today.
Thus, Eric's mantra on greatness was born.
He's so intense. He's like intense in everything he does, and he wants to be the best at everything and so competitive, like even like a game on his phone. There'll be millions of players. He's like, I want to be number one. He wants to spend hours on his phone just to be number one. Like, who cares?
It's a good thing Chanel was there to keep him level-headed.
We balance each other out really well. We're complete opposites.
When I'm like wavering or not in it, she'll reel me in real quick. And she'll put her foot down. She's like, listen, do I need to remind you what your responsibilities are?
She keeps him grounded, and she doesn't let him get away with anything. And no. You know, it doesn't matter that he's a football player or whatever. She makes sure he knows that this is a family first.
Sometimes I wish he would, like, not be as intense, but it's what makes him. But at the same time, there's times where he'll step back and say, you know what, I was wrong. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't bring work home, which was a big improvement on everybody, and especially our relationship. That's why I would go in at 4 a.m. That's why I would try to get everything done. So when I get home at 7 o'clock, I'm not watching film. I'm not studying. You know, it reminds you why you're doing everything, why you're trying to be great, and the reasons you're doing it for. You have a job to do when you come home, and you have to be great at that, too.
Weddle was definitely great at football, spending 9 seasons with the Chargers, 3 more with the Baltimore Ravens, and a single season with the Los Angeles Rams.
As soon as he became available in the 2019 season, it was like, all right, let's go get a chance to see if we can get this guy on board. He was immediately voted a captain.
Sean McVay is a head coach of the Rams.
I had been a fan of Eric's for a long time. My first exposure to him was when I was in 2018 coaching with the Rams. My second year, we had practiced against the Baltimore Ravens. And I remember we were doing some different things, no huddle wise. And I was just so impressed with his command. You know, we had actually tried to check into a man beater. He recognized it and he got their defense into a zone and we had a dead play. And I talked to him after the period and just the command, his ability to communicate with his teammates, the humility, but the competitiveness, all those things struck a chord with me. You never doubt him, and he's something special.
A little over a month after the Rams finished the 2019 regular season, Weddle tweeted, "It's been real. Teammates, coaches, and others, I love y'all. We had a great run. Hashtag beard out." Weddle's football career was done. Or was it?
I called one of my best friends. I'm like, "Hey, man, do you think I could play in the NFL right now?"
The beard comes out of retirement to be great one more time. This is Big Stories from BYU Radio. Hey everyone, Cleon Wall here again. I'm inviting you to check out another BYU Radio podcast. It's called Deep Blue. It's where you get the true stories of BYU athletes and coaches from their own mouths. It's hosted by my colleague Jason Shepherd. Last season, they had great interviews on Deep Blue, including Cougar quarterback Gary Bohannon. He teared up quite a bit talking about his son and what it means for his boy to watch his dad play. Also, BYU swimmer Jordan Tiffany, who quit swimming due to mental health struggles. He talked about how he was able to get back in the pool again. More great conversations for season number three. BYU running back Hinkley Rapati will talk about his tear-filled journey to BYU. Former BYU tight end Chad Lewis, he's going to reflect back on that special 1996 BYU football season. And BYU basketball players Richie Saunders and Fuseni Traore discuss their unique relationship. It started way before they got to BYU. Please subscribe and listen to Deep Blue with Jason Shepherd wherever you get podcasts, or check it out on the BYU Radio app. Welcome back to the Big Stories podcast episode. Let's be great today. Former Utah and NFL safety Eric Weddle had a remarkable career, retiring from the Los Angeles Rams in 2019 after 13 years of professional football. In January 2022, while interviewing to become the football coach at Rancho Bernardo High School, he received a call from Rams defensive coordinator Raheem Morris.
The week of the first round of the playoffs, Raheem called me and asked if I'd give him 15, 20 snaps Monday night. This was Tuesday. I'm like, you guys are out of your minds.
Weddle was 20 pounds lighter than when he last played, but the Rams were desperate, having lost two safeties to injuries. Eric called a friend, the athletic director at Cal State San Marcos, and asked him if he could still play in the NFL.
Play? Yeah, I think you could play, like, one play? And I'm like, no, like 15, 20 snaps. And he's like, what's going on? And so I explained the whole scenario, and he's like, yeah, man, like, you're one of a kind.
He then reached out to Jalen Ramsey, who played as a cornerback for the Rams in 2021.
I said, hey, they're thinking about bringing me back. What do you think? He's like, stop talking and get up here. And I'm like, no, seriously, like, this is your team. I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers. You know how I am. Like, what's the deal? And he's like, stop. Just stop. Get in your truck and get up here.
But Weddle had his doubts.
I haven't been training. Like, I know how hard it is. So, yeah, there was a lot of doubt. I built up this standard of what I tried to be on the field, excellence. And I didn't want to be that guy where you're like, oh, he hung on too long. Like, he can't run. He looks horrible. And that's the lasting memory of guys that hang on too long. And I left at the right time. I was done.
However, his wife, Chanel, thought he should seize the opportunity.
She just paused and she said, babe, if anyone can do it, you can. And I'm like, you're dang right. And I'm like, why not? And she like kind of gave me the confidence to just go for it when she said that, because she knows me better than anybody.
Until this moment, Eric had not received any communication from Coach McVay.
He didn't want it to be, since our friendship was so close, he didn't want it to be that's the reason why I came back, you know? So he was the last thing, and I was like, Sean, is this real or what? He's like, Eric, we don't have anybody else. He's like, you'll come in, we'll take care of you, you'll learn the defense, we'll be fine. I'm like,
I think we needed somebody to come in and ignite some positive authenticity, some good juice, and he certainly checked all those boxes for us.
One of Weddle's next calls was to his father.
He goes, hey, Dad, you'll never guess where I'm going. And I go, where, son? He goes, I'm going up to Rams Park. And immediately I thought, well, I knew the Rams were going into the playoffs, so I thought they needed a defensive coordinator. So I said, what, they need you for a defensive coordinator? And he goes, no, they want me back. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, you might think I'm crazy, but I go, son, no, this is an omen. There's something about this. There's, you know, if you don't take this opportunity, you'll hate yourself. And he goes, yeah, I know.
Weddle came off the bench in the first two playoff games, but started in the NFC Championship victory against the San Francisco 49ers and the Super Bowl against the Cincinnati Bengals. In the first quarter of his only Super Bowl appearance, he tore his pectoral muscle.
I'm trying to get his attention because I know him well enough, and you can see, like, all right, he was hurt, but he wouldn't make eye contact with me. And I kept asking him, I'm like, hey, are you all right, man? Can you keep going? He's like, look, I don't care what I did to my pec. All right. This is an opportunity. I'm not coming out of this game. We'll strap it up. Quit asking me if I'm okay. And he changed his tackling plan and he ends up adjusting with a torn pec and plays the rest of the Super Bowl. And, you know, that epitomizes who he is. You know, he's crazy in the best way possible.
I still don't believe that it actually happened. And I feel my, where I had my ruptured pec, and I go, oh yeah, that happened. But just being a part of it and being etched in immortality, you know, that's why I played. Never once won a championship at any level until I went back and won the Super Bowl, helped win the Super Bowl.
I think the truest measurement of performance is consistency. He had such great competitiveness. He had such great mental toughness, physical toughness. But it was a combination of all these things. And I think, you know, the greats always have this indomitable spirit, this mindset mentality. And he certainly has as strong of a mind as any player that I've been around. And he's as competitive as it gets. He's such a great role model and a great inspiration for young players to mimic and emulate in terms of the humility, the work ethic, and the ability to positively impact your teammates through the good times, and then more importantly, through some of the challenging times. He was always a coach on the field. His ability to understand what all 22 were doing never ceased to amaze me. I've been trying to get him to come coach with us, and you know, he's turned me down on that.
Instead, he followed his original plan to coach at Rancho Bernardo High School.
It was quite a recruiting accomplishment.
Tristan McCoy was the head coach of the Broncos, but was transitioning out of the position.
I knew his character, and I knew that he was going to be the right fit. And I think he saw, just being around our program, that we fit his character and his core beliefs and his value system. I told him this when he took over. I said, they're going to be impressed with your Super Bowl ring and the All Pros for about 5 minutes. And then it's going to be about, what can you do for us? Right? Who are you as a person? How are you going to treat me?
One of the players Eric has the privilege to coach is his son, Gage, who plays quarterback and safety for Rancho Bernardo.
It used to be like we wouldn't talk for days after practice. This was more like youth football.
Brock!
And I had to tell him, I'm like, listen, like,
where's Brock?
I'm here to help you out. If this means you and I don't have a relationship, I'll quit coaching right now. It's not worth it for me. He's like, no, it's like, I want to be great.
I think my dad's always good at that, you know, taking accountability and getting better and improving. And that's probably one of the best qualities that I take from him, you know. If right after the game on Saturdays, we have film and stuff, and even that night, we'll come home and he's like, we need to come to my office, we need to talk about this play. And I'm like, oh gosh, you know, it's not gonna be good.
When he plays with a little bit of anger, he turns into a really good football. It's like, just play that way out of the game. You don't need to wait for me to get you mad at you.
He really brings another level to my game and just helps me and makes me a better player. And he's really that challenge for me on the football field. I think the guys, you know, this being his second year, kind of looked at my dad different than they did the first year, you know. I think the first year was kind of, oh, this is so cool, like, ex-NFL, you know, this, this, and this. But now they just see him as a coach. Like, he's a great coach, and he's really helps out in the community, helps out with our team, you know, builds us to be better men, and it's what he's done for me, it's what he's done for our team.
It's good having a coach that's played at the highest level, and he's been through it all. It's just good learning from the top and just trying to get to where he was.
Broncos football player Jake Andrews also appreciates his coach's honesty.
He keeps it 100 with us. He is going to tell us when we're doing wrong, and he's going to tell us when we're doing right. It's just, it's all everything that you just need to learn to get better each and every day.
He looks at the whole family, not just the students, or the players, I should say. He cares about all of us, even us as parents.
Jennifer is Jake's mom.
He gave us an opportunity to do a, like, mom night where he came and gave us all the basics of football. It was so you wouldn't be embarrassed that you didn't know anything about football, because there's a lot of parents that don't. We just support our kids, and we just want them to be happy.
When he gets complaints from the outside or whatever, I'm like, I wish they could just see what this guy does.
Here again is Weddle's wife, Chanel.
I mean, after the game, he celebrates with the coaches for dinner, and then he's back at it. He's home. He's up till 2 in the morning, cutting up film, looking at plays, and then he's up at 6 a.m., ready for the next day for the meeting, and then he stays. I mean, it's just like nonstop, and sometimes I'm like, okay, before you complain, I wish you can just see the energy and the time and the passion. He does want the best for your kid. He wants the best for the team as a whole. And if you could just see all these other factors and you could just sit down and talk to him, he will have the answer for you. And I promise he's thought about it 10 times over, right? And so, but of course, no one can see all of that. And so sometimes that gets frustrating for me as his spouse, like, oh, they have no idea what you've been through to make this happen on a Friday night.
We hope to transform these young men into men. That's really what our program is all about. And I think Eric has done a great job carrying on that tradition.
You try as much as you can to instill in them characteristics to make them successful on and off the field. So when they leave my program in their real world, they're not going to be out of sorts. They'll be ready for those tough conversations. They'll be ready that if they get fired from a job, that they pick themselves up and they go find something else to make it work. The ultimate goal is to build up the next future leaders of our community and great fathers and husbands, because that's what we're lacking in the grand scheme of things. We're lacking great fathers, great husbands, and people that do things the right way. I think my understanding of life and what is most important to me, which is my faith and my family, puts everything else in perspective and in the totem pole, right? Like, early in my career, football was too high on my totem pole. And then I had to revisit and recenter my life on what was most important, and that was family and faith.
Eric worked hard to be a good father while pursuing his football career. So how did he manage? His daughters Silver and Brooklyn Weddle shared that their dad often had to get creative to make it work.
I remember, like, he'd be missing, like, every single one of my birthdays, and I was like, what's, like, the most important day of the year? Like, I was born on that day. And then, like, he'd just, like, come on one day and, like, surprise me, and I'd be, like, so happy because, like, I don't get to see him a lot.
I thought of the same thing where he would, like, surprise us one day when all of us kids thought he would be, like, on the road, and when he was supposed to be on the road, he'd just come back for less than 24 hours just to see us. And now he's back. It just, like, proves more to me that family is just so important because we're stronger together.
He's an amazing dad and does everything for us to try to make us happy.
This is Camry, the youngest of the Weddle bunch.
So when my sister was in fifth grade and then I was in like third or something, my dad came and all of Silver's friends came over and like surrounded the thing. And my dad was like, guys, get away, I'm trying to have lunch with my daughter. And it was really funny, but also embarrassing.
But he would sign things,
yeah,
for the kids.
Yeah, he signed, everybody is at the table, everybody.
You know, oftentimes
women and girls get the short end of the stick. And I think as us as men, showing that we support them and care about them more so than ourselves at times is powerful.
As far as like having three girls, my daughters, I think, see Eric, same thing, like that he's mentally tough and he works hard. And I think Eric tries to like connect with his girls because obviously there's more to life than sports.
Obviously I missed out on a lot when I was playing, but now if they ever have an activity or sports, I'm there. And I always yell at their name and I embarrass them. I want them to know that I'm there.
When I have my soccer games, he yells at me and says like, go, can we go, go, go.
And he cheers for you.
Really loudly.
It's not for attention on me, but it's for the times that I wasn't there, that they know that I'm there now. Because I always remember my mom and dad at everything I went to, and it meant a lot because I know some people don't have that.
The other day he came straight home from football and drove all the way up to Ramona to make sure someone was there to watch Brooklyn's flag game because I had the youngest. And so, or if I've been with the girls all day, he'll say, okay, I'll go put the girls to bed so he can spend time and ask them about their day or lay with them or whatever it is. So even though he can't relate to them in the football sense and coaching sense, he's still their dad and he still wants to be involved in their lives. It's not easy for him to relate to them and connect with them, but he wants to so bad. He wants to be a great dad. And so he takes time to do that for them.
Being a widow just means like we're fun, we're crazy, we're busy, but we're also like strong. And we love each other and we try to put others first and we love God.
On three. One, two, three, photos!
Go Be Great, that's our family like text string. That's the name of it, Go Be Great. And I think it does just exemplify like always try and be great in everything you do, just like he does. He tries to be a great dad. He tries to be a great husband. He's super competitive in that nature in everything he does. And so it does motivate the rest of us, I think, to try and be the same. As a coach, he does. As a friend, as a son, he's always trying to be great. And so I think we feel that. We feel the energy from him. And we try and emulate it.
He's a good example. And he's always stressing, you know, be great in everything you do. And, you know, I take that and try to strive for greatness. You know, it's never perfection. It's always just be great. And I kind of think that relates to time and how much time you put into something, you can really get better and reach that goal of being great. I just think that's how we carry this family and that's how he carries himself.
Let's be great. It's an ideology of pushing for greatness in whatever you're doing, or at least trying. Like, so oftentimes we don't try and put in the effort, and who knows what can happen if you just commit yourself to greatness or trying to get to greatness. It's almost like you're saying, you know, no one's perfect, but, you know, I'm gonna try to be perfect. I know I'm not gonna get there, but then let's see what happens as a professional, as an athlete, as in academics, in relationships. Like, it's across all spectrums. Let's be great today. It's pretty simple.
Eric Weddle, Let's Be Great Today, was produced and written by Sydney Simpson and Cleon Wall. Music and post-production by Kevin West. Make sure you watch BYU TV's Big Stories by logging on to BYUSN.com. Big Stories is a production of BYU Radio.